God's been good to you. Would you just say thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Well, we are so excited, Michael and I, to say good morning and happy Mother's Day. This is an exciting time to celebrate our mothers. And there's so many things that we would love to say to you, and we only have one window of time to do it. But I do want to say that we want to celebrate today biblical womanhood on a grand scale. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we dive into it. We're so glad that all of you here, whether you be a grandmother or a new mother or an older mother or adopted mother or however many other categories we can come up with, Michael, there's so many ways that you guys serve us so well. And we love you and we thank you for doing what you do. We're going to have a very special time. We've got some gifts that we've put together. Where they're hiding over here. So if we can get all of our kids to come up, this is a great time for you to give to your moms a really cool treat that you didn't have to pay for. So this is a win-win. So if you guys will come on up here and grab these things and start passing them out to the moms. And if you're a lady in the house, you get a gift today, okay? So we want all of our ladies to have a gift, and you'll understand more and more as we talk about it why that is. But our kids are going to be bringing them to you, and as they pass these gifts out, we're going to have a short video watching on the screen, so just kind of pay attention to that, and hopefully that will honor and celebrate the wonderful things that you guys do for us. So let's get those passed and go ahead and roll that video.
Motherhood plays an important role in the Bible. It binds the beginning and the end. These stories offer us a glimpse into the heart of God. And so we start at the beginning. Taken from the side of Adam, gifted with bringing forth life, the first woman was named Eve because she was the mother of all living. But she was also a mother in her own right, the first of many mothers to come. Though Sarah's womb was closed, God promised nations and kings would come from her. 10 years pass, and motherhood seems as impossible as the day it was promised. But the Lord is faithful to keep his promises, and Sarah bore a son who made her laugh. Leah was the firstborn, overlooked by her husband Jacob, who gave his heart to her younger sister. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. Despite Jacob's disdain, she found her motherhood in the Lord. When Pharaoh became angry at the fruitfulness of the Hebrews, Jochebed sacrificed her motherhood for the sake of her son. When Pharaoh's daughter saw the child, she had compassion on him. Because of Jochebed's sacrificial motherhood, the Israelites found freedom. Naomi was a mother who experienced the loss of her sons, yet she gained a daughter in Ruth who declared, "For where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God." Naomi and Ruth became family by faith. Mary, a virgin and not yet married, was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. The motherhood of this blessed woman was more than the continuation of a family name, but a means for God to bring a Savior into the world to save his people from their sins. From the garden to the cross, there have always been mothers. These women paved the way for all women, representing the full spectrum of the ways one could be called mom. Whether a mother in faith, mentorship, adoption, or by birth, you play an important role in the stories of generations to come. To all the Sarahs, Leahs, Jochebeds, and Naomis, happy Mother's Day.
Before Michael prays for all of our moms today, did any lady get overlooked? We want to make sure we got everybody today. If so, we can like quarterback through it to you if you'd like. All right, everybody's good. Okay, awesome. We're so glad you're here today. Michael's going to pray over you guys, and I've got a few words to share about biblical womanhood and hopefully be an encouragement to you. Go ahead, brother.
Since my mom is in Nashville and David's mom is up in Boston, and Boston, I guess I got to say that right. No Tennessee boy can fake that accent. It ain't happening. And some of your moms may not be here this morning. One of the things I've learned in ministry is even though my mom is hours and hours away, many of you in the church are my church moms, are moms that are just ladies that love me as if I was one of your sons. And I know David feels the exact same way about many of you. And that's not just by accident. The church is this beautiful, organic group of people that get together and love each other and care for one another. And it's powerful and it is beautiful. And Jesus says something very profound about the church. In a context where some people come up to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, your family is outside looking for you," Jesus responds, as only Jesus can respond, with a question, "And who are my mother and my brothers?" And he looked at those seated in a circle around him, and he said, "Here are my mothers and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Thus, Jesus says, if you ever feel alone in the world, you don't have to look too far. Look to the church, and there you'll see family. Those who are pursuing to live according to God's will. Family. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a day set aside to celebrate all the good things about motherhood. Father, thank you for the church. Thank you for all of the moms and the brothers and the sisters that are gathered here this morning. Thank you, God, for your genius and for your wisdom in putting all of this together. And we pray for David now as he leads us in Scripture. God, may your Spirit open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to your word. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Perfect segue. I want to address a very medium-sized elephant in the room. I know that many of us have different places we come from, whether, as Michael was saying earlier, whether we may not have our mom with us, or maybe she has passed on. Maybe you had a really bad mom, and she was not a great role model for you. There's a lot of scenarios. Many come from situations where they want to be moms and are not able to be for various reasons. And I realize that all this can create an angst on a day like today. So what I would like to invite you to do today is this. All of us, every one of us, are born from a mom. Period. So let's celebrate that first. And second, as I said earlier, biblical womanhood is about being a mom. And you may not have birthed a child, but you have an opportunity to mother. And it is something our world needs so bad. So if you're a lady today, I want to thank you for the gifts that God has instilled in you. I want to ask you and call you today to utilize them. Biblical womanhood is really about being a mother in a lot of ways. And I'll share that with you today. A lot of my thoughts today, if you guys remember A Wild at Heart by John Eldridge, came out a few years ago. Fantastic book for guys. Well, him and his wife got together and put together this book called Captivating, and it's unveiling the mystery of a woman's soul, and it really is kind of the Wild at Heart for ladies, if you will. And it's a fantastic read if you want something that'll just really open your mind to a broader perspective. But let me start with this. In Genesis 1, we read, "And God made us in His image, male and female. In the image of God, He made them." So let me ask you this. Is God male or female? Somebody say yes, right? Is God male or female? And we represent, each one of us, male and female, represent half of God's core. And I would say that the two striking, strong elements, men represent strength. They want to know the answer to this question. Do I have what it takes? And the answer to that question in your spirit dictates your life, for good or bad. Women represent beauty, the beauty of God. is represented by women. And it asks this question, am I lovely? And how you answer that question, based on the truth you know or don't know, dictates your life. Strength and beauty, two core elements that God has placed in His people. He separated Adam and said, okay, I need two. There's male and female, and they're both in the image of God. And so we may read a lot of masculine language about God, probably because that's the way the language is written, but there's a lot of feminine qualities to God. Exactly half, if we do the math correctly. And I want to encourage you in that and remind you of that today. The beauty of a woman says that she wants to be seen and enjoyed. Something beautiful. And that's where the whole idea of captivating comes from. One of the things that Stacey Eldridge says, and I think it's really right on time, is that beauty flows from a heart at rest. In other words, the choice is not to conjure beauty, to make beauty. The decision is to lower your defenses to let it emerge. And that's a beauty that is in you because God has placed it in you if you're a lady. And it is a beauty that transforms the world around you. 1 Peter 3 says it this way. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles and expensive jewelry and beautiful clothing. That's the conjuring of beauty. Instead, you should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. It's funny, Stacey Eldridge interacts with it. She's like, quiet? I'm an extrovert. I'm never going to be quiet. What do you mean by quiet? And she raises some very interesting points. And this is her way of stating it. Quiet is having a heart of faith, a heart that trusts in God, a spirit that has been quieted by His love and has been filled with His peace. Not a heart that is striving or that is restless. Ladies, if you want to have the full exercise of half of what God is, that the world is starving for, the beauty that God has placed in every woman, it is this. To not strive for beauty, but to simply let it be. To let it bubble out. And the certain knowledge that you have that God approves of you. Man, you can see the application on the other side. So go ahead and go with it. It's not your sermon today, but it applies when you think about strength. But ladies, God has placed this in you. It's not a choice. It's not, well, did you put on makeup or not? It's a, do you realize or not? God has placed His very image of beauty inside of you. In her quiet center, Stacy says, is where God dwells. He finds her beautiful. God has deemed you worthy. And God says to you, you are enough. You are enough. And knowing that and sitting in that is what transforms the world around you. Zephaniah 3:17 says, He will quiet you with His love. Knowledge of what God has placed inside of you as ladies create the quiet that Peter's talking about. It's not a quiet, vocally quiet. It's a quiet of spirit. One that is not restless. No one that is not trying to say, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. But one that says, I know who I am. Because God has made me beautiful. And my role in this world is to exude that beauty. And to image God the way He has designed it to be. A woman of true godly beauty offers others grace. And these are the two words I want you to take with you today. Offers grace to be and to become. And this is what moms do best. Your kids can be who they are around you. Dads, we have a hard time with this. And your kids can become. Moms have that patience and that love. They understand beauty and it draws their children to them. A place to be and to become. Beauty invites. As I said before, it wants to be seen. It wants to be enjoyed. And it longs for that opportunity. Psalms 34:8 says of God, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Do you see that language in there? That is a feminine visual. Women, this is what God has placed in you. It reminds the world that God is tender, that God is kind. A woman's beauty, her true beauty, that inner peace that draws, reminds the world that God is good, that God is deep, that He is lovely, that God is alluring, that God is captivating. And that is what you bring to the world. A safe place for others to be and to become. A woman offers true beauty by offering her heart and her presence. When you're not conjuring beauty, then you can sit in yourself and know who you are and know that God has placed this in you. And when you do that, it will literally create something around you. It allows you to offer your heart. It offers your presence. Have you ever noticed that there are no your daddy jokes? Why do you think that is? Because they're not very good. They're not very cut down enough. Your mama, don't talk about my mama now. Right? What is that? Why do we feel that way? Because there's something beautiful about mom that is just always consistently there. There's something so transparently honest. The heart is raw. And you can talk about a lot of stuff, but don't you talk about my mama. Can you hear that? Can you feel that? That is a response to a woman who knows her beauty and allures and draws her kids in. And they know that they are safe with her to be and to become. And we need that so desperately. 1 Peter 3:6, "You are Sarah's daughter. So if you do what is right and you do not give way to fear." See, I think this is one of the challenges, moms, I want to challenge you with. If you are going to be present and not conjure beauty, then that means you're going to have a little bit of risk. Because what if you hear the lie that you're not enough? Or that your beauty is not really there? I'm telling you, you're in the image of God. You have no choice about this. But sometimes Satan can twist our minds to believe that lie. Just like a man can believe that he's not strong enough or good enough. Women can believe that you're not beautiful enough. That you don't have what it takes to draw and to allure, to be that God image that the world needs. And that is a lie. And therefore, there's a fear involved with that. And Peter's saying, do not give way to fear. This is a few verses after the one we read a minute ago. Isaiah 30:15 says it this way, "In repentance of that lie and in rest is your salvation. In quietness and in trust is your strength." God is saying, if you're going to live out this image of God, you're going to have to really trust Jesus a lot, because the world is going to tell you a lot of things that are not true. The magazine covers are going to tell you something that is not true. There's a lot of lie out there. And I want to call you ladies. If you're going to be effective moms to all of us, and we need it, you've got to know that you are enough. That you are beautiful because God has designed you that way. That you're alluring because you can sit in it and your heart can be opened. And you don't have to conjure a thing. Because it is already in you as imagers of the Holy God. Remember, Jesus was perfected by suffering, as we just heard. So there's going to be suffering. And it'll probably be around this issue for most of you ladies. And that's okay. God will develop you that way. But at the end of the day, being captivating is setting your beauty free. Allowing the world to see it by being calm, being focused, being patient in it. You've heard that phrase that a woman is most beautiful when she is in love. It's like she glows from the inside because she knows the answer to that question. Am I lovely? Well, yes, I know. I know I'm lovely. Therefore, it exudes even more. There's a great message in that. If you believe what the Bible says and really truly understand, am I worth fighting for? You're worth dying for. Jesus already did it. Am I beautiful? Am I captivating? Yes, because you represent the very heart of God in that area. And God is captivating. God is alluring. God is creative. God is beautiful. And it's evident through everything He does. You represent that. That is the truth. And knowing that and sitting in that is where a lot of your power will come from in the world. It's the way you could affect things. The deepest question, do you believe the answer? Am I lovely? Yes. Because God has made you that way. Now I got to thinking about the different images that are associated with motherhood. There's a bunch of them. Here's eight that came up to my mind pretty quickly. Childbirth, the whole womb pain. Thank you, Eve, right? That's a very womanly, motherly thing. Incarnated provision. And this is what I mean by that. Guys, if you're sitting with a kid and he doesn't eat food, you're like, just flick it, eh? I ain't got time for this. Moms, however, make a choo-choo train. They tell a story, right? That's an incarnational provision. They get down on the level and they make it happen. All right? This is a really beautiful image. Lullaby. Some guys do this, but it's a really beautiful thing. Moms hold their babies and they sing to them. All right? I think about nursing, breastfeeding. That's a really important element that's very uniquely motherly. Mama bear. Oh my, right? And this is not a mama bear that, you know, a guy protection, he just shoots the intruder. But a mom stands in front and says, you beat on me and give my child a chance to get away. It's almost irrational, but it is all gut. It is all emotional. It is complete defense. It's mama bear. Don't get in the way of mama bear. It's a common theme that we see. Another one would be mother hen. Concerned about the whole neighborhood. There's a mother hen, right? We've heard that imagery. Very motherly figure. Or the hugs and the holding, the nurturing, right? This is a very feminine, motherly element that we see. Another one would be safety and loyalty. No judgment. That's what I mean. This is a safe place for you to be and to become. Remember that phrase? You got a face that only a mother could love, right? Why do you think that came around? Because dad's like, boy, you ugly. Mama's like, oh, no, don't, that's, you're special. There's something about mom that just gets it, right? That's what that I'm talking about, that loyalty, that non-judgment, that safety, okay? These are elements that we read about, we talk about, we hear about, and you know them true from your own mom, your own experience. But I thought, you know, if this is true that we represent God's image, then God should have these qualities in Himself. Would that make sense? Yes. Well, I want to share some of those with you quickly. The Holy Spirit is described in John 14 as the Comforter. I mean, does that not just scream holding your child? He's also described as the teacher and the counselor. I don't know of anybody who teaches more than moms. They are the ones who really train up the child. Now, when you get older, the dad has to take them out and get them a job so they can live. But growing up and what's normal and balanced, it's all mom. That is a really rich thing. In John 5, listen to this. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and what? Born of the Spirit." You have to be born again. That's mama language right there. I don't know of any dads who can bring life into this world like that. Mamas can. And He says that you should be born of the Spirit. We're born of woman. That's water. Now we're going to be born of Spirit. That's a mama language. Right there with the Holy Spirit. Look at the Father. The incarnational provision I mentioned, the choo-choo train, right? Making sure the kid has. Listen to this. Hosea 11. I taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms. But they did not realize I was the one who took care of them. I led them with kindness and love. I was to them like a person who lifts the little child to their cheek. I bent down to feed them. There's the choo-choo train. God describes Himself to Israel as a mother. Because that's who God is. That's part of who He is. And you represent that to the world. Think about the lullaby. Remember Zephaniah? He will take great delight in you and He will rejoice over you with singing. Can you hear the lullaby? God sings lullabies over us. Moms, you represent that. Ladies, you represent that. You don't even have to birth a child. This is who you are in God. Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, God says. Childbirth, Isaiah 42, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and I pant, God says. John 1:13, we are children born of God. Deuteronomy 32, the God who gave birth to you. Job 38, who shut the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb. God's womb produced the world, Job says. That is very motherly imagery. This is part of God. It's who He is. That beauty, you represent that. You have that in you as imagers of God. Don't believe the lie that you're not. Nursing. Isaiah 49, the Lord answers, can a mother forget the baby who is nursing at her breast? Can she stop having tender love for the child who is born to her? This is a rhetorical question. Of course not. She might forget her child, but I will not forget you, God says. Wow. Mama bear. Hosea 13. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. That's God. That's mama bear God right there. Mother hen. Ruth 2:12. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you come to take refuge. Psalm 17:8, Psalms 57:1, Psalms 91:4, and many other places. I will hide in the shadow of your wings, mother hen. Check out this video. This is literally what a mother hen looks like. Look at the little babies in there. Didn't it? And I love this little lost child comes over and says, you know what? I'm left out. I'm going to go get in there. This is God language. And the shelter of His wings. That's how God is a mom. That is what you represent as a lady. You don't have to birth a child to be this. I need you to hear me, okay? We need moms, whether you have birthed a child or not, you have the skills to pay the bills. And we need you to do that. Okay? Because God has designed you. You represent that beauty that sits and that the world is drawn to. And if you're honest with yourself, you want to be seen and you want to be appreciated. You want to be enjoyed. It's who you are as a woman of God. The Son, John 17, He says, Father, the hour has come. That is literally labor language. I am now, my water's broken and I'm going into labor. And it's going to be real painful. What He's saying is, my labor has started. And I'm going to literally die on a cross in this process of pain. I'm going to birth a whole new generation of followers of God. It's labor language. But, of course, better than all of them, Matthew 23. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together. How? As a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Jesus says, how long I've wanted to do that. Jesus represents, even as a real, no kidding, male in this world, He still has an understanding of, an appreciation for, as part of the Godhead. He understands the beauty that God has placed in women as imagers of God. When a woman is secure and she can rest, she can offer her heart to others and it brings life to the world around her. I think one of the greatest passages out there on this is 1 Thessalonians 2. Listen to this. Paul appeals to this. We, he says, were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives as well. And in other words, Paul is saying, I want to show you how awesome we were. We were like a mom. No stinky dad, right? We weren't like a missionary who might do. No, we were like a mom. We didn't just share with you the good news. We shared with you our life. Do you see the insight there? Moms, ladies, this is what you have that we don't have. You're able to sit in yourself and know who you are. And when you do that, it will draw to you because of your beauty. When you're not making it up, you're just being who you are, centered, knowing that God has made you special, that you are enough, that you are beautiful, not by your choice, but by God's design. And you sit in that. It brings life, literally and metaphorically, to the world around you. And it is a role that we need so much more of today. And no matter what stage you're at, Paul wants you to know that at his best, he starts to look a little bit like a mom. Because that is what people need. We need more people doing mothering things. We need safe places for us to be and for us to become. The non-judgmental, love at all costs, mama bear, mother hen who will just get it done because someone's got to do it. And God has entrusted you with that gift and with that authority and with that responsibility. So I got to ask you a question, ladies. Do you trust God that what He said is true? Do you believe that you are enough just as you are? I know some of you are questioning that right now. Don't question it. Do you believe that you matter? Do you believe that you've been made with 50% of what makes God special in you as His imager to this world? Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says. Now, Satan would love to tell you, did God really say that? And Eve was quick to go, well. So you have a choice. Do you want to believe the lie or do you want to believe the truth? If you believe the lie, you're liable to still have that same desire to be seen and to be appreciated, to be enjoyed. And what you do is you conjure, and thus all the hard work. Not to say that taking care of yourself to be physically beautiful is a bad thing. Of course, it's a wonderful part of it. But what God is interested in is much richer than that. And it is calm, centered heart that knows its place. Do you believe that you are lovely? Do you believe that you are enough? Do you believe that you represent the beauty of God to the world around you? The invitation is to step in fear, because it is scary, and believe that. Sit in it, be present, and allow your heart to be open so that you can provide a safe place for us to what? To be and to become. We need you, ladies, to do that for us. Because we can't do it. We tore it from the floor up in that area. I hope that you'll leave today, ladies, encouraged to know just how remarkable you are. How special you are to God and to all of us. Whether we say it or not, it's true. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this day, and a day to just remember and to celebrate our moms and to celebrate, Lord, the mothers in this room. Whether they've had a child or adopted a child or will be one day, Lord, they have a gift. And I pray, Lord, that you will blow into flame that gift, that they would mother, that they would create places where we can be and where we can become. Unconditional love, mama bear, mother hen kind of love. Representing your beauty to the world. Lord, inspire each lady here today to do that, to be that, to live that. For your glory, and Lord, for their blessing. We thank you for the gifts that you've bestowed, even in this room. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you need to respond in some way, feel free to do that. Let's stand together and sing.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. Well, He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be.
Be dismissed with this blessing. Ladies especially, may you go forth and embrace the beauty inside each of you. May you recognize it as the very image of God, uniquely designated to you as a woman. May you embrace mothering to all who need it, to offer grace for people to be and to become. God bless you. Go in peace. Happy Mother's Day.